If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to Luke chapter 2. We'll begin to read at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The world is an amazing place. Amazing in a lot of different ways. Amazing to me, sometimes in the ways in which it does not change. This morning in Sunday school class, We were looking into the book of Esther and taking note of a lot of the background politically of what was happening in that story in that time. And I was recognizing yet again that human nature is as it has always been. They were plotting things that could be plotted today. They were responding to things that they could be responding to today. And so, no matter how much time goes by, always this thought that the thirst and the quest for power remains the same. How many of you have ever said, "If I was in charge, I would"? Let me see your hands. "If I was in charge, I would." How many of you have ever said, "If I was president of the United States, I would"? Not so many. No one wants to be president now. I'm amazed as I look at this story at the ways in which there are cross currents through the story tucked away in these words. Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Let's take note of the fact that there was a limit to it. The entire Roman world was not the entire world. There was a point at which the boundaries of the empire lay, and beyond that, the Romans had no sovereignty at all. Let's consider the baby lying in a manger. Where are the boundaries of his power? What are the limits of it? At what point, at what boundary, does his ability to shape events end? And so Caesar Augustus was viewed as this powerful, powerful man. And Rome was the most powerful kingdom and empire that the world had yet known at that time. And yet this man, who is bent on learning how many people are within the kingdom so they can tax them more effectively, so they can support their armies as they march out further and continue to move their borders farther and farther away from Rome. While all of this is going on, God is doing something entirely different. And so it leaves me with the thought that so much of what we focus on, read about, watch on the news is secondary, totally in importance to what God is doing. We look at it sometimes, the headlines, the news reports, the results of elections and appointments and all of these things, and we say these are the important things happening in the world today. And I would just like you to know that no matter how important those things are, the things that God is doing are of far more importance. They are far more permanent. Kingdoms come and go. The thing that changes societies are thoughts and ideas and values. And so here in this manger, in this small town of Bethlehem, lies the change that is going to transform the world. The love of God is there. I'd like you to think with me about the needs of people around us. Arguments sometimes about who ought to meet the needs. Should it be government? Some would say, no, that's not their responsibility. Should it be family? Not all have family. Should it be us? Only through love will the needs be met. I think about people who in this holiday season are lonely, people who have lost family. Maybe this will be the first Christmas where they won't have someone at the table. I thought this year of some people that I've lost over the years, thought about that as I put stockings up on the wall. How many of you do that? Thought about the fact that if I lost one of my sons, his stocking would stay on the wall. It would always be there because that love is always there. Thinking about people who have things they're looking forward toward with dread. The person maybe has court summons, the person who has a balloon payment, they don't know how they're going to come up with the money, the person who has tests being done, and they don't know if they might have cancer or not, leukemia or not, some other illness or not, if they might have a heart problem or not, a problem with the lungs or not, people who are really in despair that they will ever have good health again. And I know people, probably you know people, where it's not a matter of one of those things being true of them, but all of those things being true of them. What is going to change their circumstance? What is going to change the state within their heart? Only the power of love. Because love has a tremendous ability to transform. Maybe you have problems in your home. Many people do. The only thing ultimately that is going to transform a home is the power of love. The only thing ultimately that transforms relationships are things that you cannot measure. There are things like compassion and forgiveness, things that really emanate and flow from the Spirit and that are not subject to a checkbook, not subject to what you can put on a credit card. I've seen the ads too. You know, for everything else, there's MasterCard. Most of the things that I'm aware that people have need of are not material at all. They're spiritual. It reaches down into the core of who we are. And so we read that story and we see these Romans and we see their emperor and their exercise of all of this power. And those of you who have studied history could look at this and say, all of it ultimately was futile. They made a difference for but a short time. But a baby again is lying in a manger. That baby is the power of God, the wealth of God. That baby is the expression of God and His love toward us. He's the model, the example of what it is that God desires for all of us to become. He is going to teach and demonstrate the values by which God intends to bring about an entirely different kind of society. How many of you are aware that people say that we are living in a post-Christian age? Do you believe them? I believe that our governments live in a post-Christian age. Many of our universities, I guess, exist in a post-Christian age. I would agree that Christian values are no longer universal through our society. There are some who hold to them, some who do not. But God's church is not a post-Christian place. The teachings of Christ and the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit are at the center of all that we say and all that we do and all of our aspirations. You might say, well, okay, that's fine. But what does that really mean for me? What it means for you is that pouring yourself out in acts of love will accomplish far more than anything else that you will ever do. What it means is that there are times when yielding to someone that you disagree with in an act of love and putting them before yourself is the thing that actually is going to move the power of God in a situation and is actually going to break the power of the enemy and is actually going to set you free. It means that turning to God with your life and being able to come to Him and humble yourself and say, Lord, I bought into the values of this world. Now I'm broken the same way the world is. Because if you buy into the values of a broken world, you'll be broken too. And what I want is for your kingdom to be established on the throne of my heart. You look into the story a bit further, and you see these shepherds. And they, I suppose, are no account. They're people whose names are lost to history. We know the governor of Syria, Quirinius, and that was a high position, a high office. None of us now know anything else about him other than his name. He's lost to history. But these shepherds, who have no rank and who have no privilege, do have the privilege of seeing the baby Jesus. And they do have the privilege of being ones who take out the good news and share it with others. So entrusted in them is this love that is going to transform the world. And I just want to say, in that, they find significance. In that, they find belonging. And you can too. You can find significance and belonging and value in your life simply by giving it over to God and being a part of those things that are far more important than anything else. We look at the story, and finally we see Mary pondering these things in her heart because of what God has told her and the things that are taking place. And she has the ability now of meditating on these truths. If you could, in your mind, I'd like you to go forward in Mary's life. She's going to see Jesus raised, going to see him become a young man, going to see him announce the inauguration of his public ministry. She's going to see him pass through a period of enormous popularity, see him pass through a period of great opposition, and is ultimately going to see her own son put on a cross and crucified to pay the price for the sins of mankind. But she pondered these things in her heart. She knew through all of this that God was working in her life, and the Bible says she treasured them. And I just want to leave you with the thought that whether it's giving a cup of cold water, as Tom did, in the name of the Lord, or whether it's helping a person have a roof over their head, or helping a person have a blanket to lie underneath during this time of cold weather, or whether it's actually sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with a person who is living in despair, all of these things you can treasure in your heart. They can never be taken away. What you do in the name of the Lord is forever. It is eternal. And so I would encourage you to involve yourselves not in things that are temporary and will soon pass, pride of life, prominence of position and place, that frankly, in 100 years, no one knows about or cares about. But to invest your life in God and God's word and the souls of men, you will not regret it. Please stand with me. Remember that we have a meeting immediately after for those who helped out with the TLC the other night, our after-action meeting. Heavenly Father, we've had people this past week who in various ways have heard the message of hope of the gospel. Lord, we've heard and will continue to about sheep and cattle and mangers, about shepherds and kings and wise men. But at the center of it all is your love for us and your provision for us in giving to us your Son. And so I pray that as we leave this place today, that we might take that treasure and we might ponder it in our hearts. That those, Lord, who might be here today feeling as if they have great problems would stop looking at their great problems and would be able to look at their great solution. That those, Lord, today who are here, who might be thinking about their needs, and perhaps they are great needs, would be able to look beyond the great needs and be able to see the great resource that we have in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That we might be able to see El Shaddai, the one who is our provider and gives us all things, that we might be able to focus in upon the peace of God within our hearts that this world knows nothing about, that we might be able to focus in upon the joy that we can have because of you, that the world tries to imitate in the form of happiness, thinking that if all the circumstances would simply align, that they could have that kind of happiness if but for a season. And Lord, you have so much more and so much that is lasting. I pray that we ponder on it, that we would meditate upon it, that we would do our very utmost to reproduce that into the lives of others. I pray, Lord, that you might have control of each one of our hearts and that you might have control of our community and our businesses and our places, Lord, all of them, of worship and places of education, that everywhere your name might be lifted up and your values might be proclaimed and that your deliverance and salvation might be publicized. We thank you, Lord, for all of this in your name. Amen.